You're listening to KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Hi, everyone. It's Federica. It's the show So Did You Hear? And I am recording here from Italy. It is my final week in Italy. And let's see, this is just going to be a little follow-up to the episode about travel that I did 2 weeks ago when I just arrived in Italy. I've been here for 3 weeks now. Last week, there was no live episode. This week, well, I guess it's not technically live because I'm recording this, but this should be played at the regular time. And, yeah, it's good to have you joining me. it's been a, really interesting trip. I have been in Europe for the past month. And while I've been gone, I've been doing the show a little differently. I've been doing just solo episodes and talking about my travel experiences. If you tuned into my last episode, which I did on, I believe it was the last week of July, I had gone over, I did a little recap of my part one of my Europe trip, which was about 10 days. I had left, I think it was the 14th of July. I spent the 14th through the 24th of July traveling through Germany and Belgium and the Netherlands. And that episode was all about what I did there. It was really cool. So if you like hearing about that part of my travel experience, definitely tune into my last live episode. I know my website is not totally up to date right now. I will be working on that once I'm back in Spokane, which will be this week. And I'll be uploading everything to the show website so you can find previous episodes more easily there. Which, by the way, you can just do that by going to the KYRS website and looking under programs for the So Did You Hear program. Or just honestly look up So Did You Hear on Google. So Did You Hear at KYRS on Google, and it'll take you to the show page. That's the easiest way to find previous episodes. But for the episodes that I haven't uploaded to the website yet, you can just go to the KYRS website and go in the archives. Shows are archived for up to 60 days, I believe. So you can find previous episodes that I did in the past month on there. So anyways, I'm doing, I guess, part two of my travel recap. I wanted to just go into depth about what my experience has been like being in Italy. After doing my kind of crazy part one of the trip, it was like a very compressed part of the trip where I was just like hitting up different cities and traveling constantly, and I was in like four different countries in the span of like not even 10 days and going to different cities. So that was a pretty crazy and eventful part of my trip. And then on July 24th, I came down to Italy, to the Amalfi Coast in southern Italy. And I came here because this is where my dad lives. I have an international family. My mom's American. My dad is from here. So this is where I spent my early childhood. I come here to visit my dad and family and just to kind of hang out, usually in the summers. And it's been a much kind of slower pace here. And that's kind of how the summer goes. That's the summer life in Italy is, generally speaking, just pretty like laid back. So it's been nice to kind of relax. Although not all of it has been entirely relaxing. I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been doing here, and then I want to go over some ideas that I've kind of put together while I've been here, since the Amalfi Coast is a huge tourist destination, and it is a crazy travel year this year, like crazy busy. And this is something that I thought about to cover before in my other episodes about Italy, is just going over some ideas about how to be a good tourist, basically. So that's kind of my plan for the episode, the rest of the episode, and thank you for joining me, and let's get into it. So, just a recap of what I've done here. Really, honestly, not that much. It's been a pretty laid-back trip. I came here just to kind of visit my dad. You know, when I come to Italy, I don't travel much within Italy, which is mostly just due to the fact that I'm here to spend time with my dad. We only really get to see each other once, maybe twice a year for a few weeks out of the year. So I really, you know, try to prioritize spending that quality time with him and with the rest of my family here. So it's, you know, it's nice to be able to just kind of go home in a way. It's like I'm not like staying in hotels and traveling everywhere. Like it's, I'm basically like going home. It's like I'm like I go to visit my mom in Colorado. So it's kind of a unique experience because on one end it is like I'm just going home to visit family, but I do also kind of feel like I'm a tourist here sometimes because I don't, you know, I don't live here year round. So there's an aspect of the experience that kind of feels like being not a stranger, but like a visitor in my own home. But the cool part about it is I get to kind of experience what it's like to, you know, be part of both sides of the population here, like being a local and being a visitor. So, yeah, I think that gives me a really unique perspective on life here on the Amalfi Coast. My dad's a tour guide, and my dad's partner, she also is in the tourism, I guess works, if you could say that, in the tourism world here. She is a travel writer, and so it's a lot of, like, just cool insights into being kind of the bridge between the two ends of the, like, cultures here, the visitor culture and the local culture. We had a lot of plans. I had a lot, like, some fun plans that I wanted to do with my dad, but unfortunately, he got COVID 2 days after I got here. So, yeah, that kind of put a damper on things. Literally, like, he's okay. He's much better now. He didn't get like severely ill or anything, but he just, you know, hasn't been feeling well pretty much the entire time I've been here. So he finally tested negative a few days ago at the time of my recording this, but he's, you know, still not feeling great. So the thing about COVID is, unfortunately, it seems to just really have a long tail and take forever to, like, some people bounce back, some people don't. Last year when I had COVID, I wasn't, like, functional for about 2 months. So I get it. But yeah, so it's been a little frustrating at times, just especially, like, for him to just feel bad because, you know, literally he made it through 2 years of the pandemic and then I come to Italy and I'm here for 2 days and he gets sick. So it's like, well, okay. It's, thanks, universe. But the important thing, he's doing okay, and we still spent a lot of time together. We've just kind of been hanging out at home together and, like, spending meals together and talking and hanging out. So it's not, like, the end of the world. But that, you know, has put a limitation on what kind of things I can kind of do. And that's also just, I think, honestly, probably even more so than that, it's the fact that it's August in Italy, and if you've listened to my previous episodes about Italy, kind of the cardinal rule I try to preach about visiting Italy is don't come in August. So, yeah. I ended up here, like, had I had an option to avoid August, I try to avoid it as much as I can, but because of some, like, timing and some other things going on with travel plans and whatnot, it just happened to be the most reasonable time for me to come here, so it is what it is. But August is just a very busy month in Italy because it's the time period where like national holidays take place. So unlike in the US, here in Italy and several other European countries, there's sort of like a set like summer holiday time, which is basically like a set period where that is like designated for people to take time off work. And it's usually at the end, towards the middle and end of summer. So the entire month of August basically is like this time period where people tend to all go on vacation in Italy. And that's on top of all the tourism that's already happening, like foreign travelers that have been coming to the Amalfi Coast. And so it's just, it is a very busy travel year here in Italy, and I think just in Europe in general. Being summer 2022, it's the first summer after like the pandemic that it's been, I think, things that are like fully reopened. So it almost feels like people are like revenge traveling after being restricted for 2 years. And it has been like just nuts. Like it kind of feels like Disneyland, like walking around in Amalfi and in, like even down by the beaches. You know, the Amalfi Coast is a pretty popular beach destination, and it kind of like some spots like literally feels like a Disney water park. There's just that like many people. So yeah, it is what it is, but it's crazy. It's also just been very hot. So with the crowding and the heat and the limited transportation options, which is always something that, you know, is a factor here on the Amalfi Coast. I've just been really not doing a lot of moving around, but that's been okay. I've just been going to the beach a lot. Found there's like a hack to getting around away from all the crowded spots. You just take some maneuvering. Like, you can still enjoy the beach. It's just, you just gotta be a little bit more strategic about like your timing when you go to the beach. And like try to avoid the most popular spots. So I've kind of figured out a system. Just been relaxing a lot, and yeah, it's been a simple trip. It's, you know, past years I've done a lot more traveling around the region and family events and stuff. So this, it's definitely been a different summer trip, but not all bad. You know, just been pretty chill and laid back, which is honestly, you know, I'm okay with it. But that said, so yeah, one thing that stood out to me, so far this summer, and everyone here has kind of pointed this out, is that it is like, when I say it's busy, you know, I'm saying in the sense that it's always busy in the summer here in Italy and on the Amalfi Coast, especially because it's a tourist destination. And this time of year, like, it's, you can always expect it to be kind of busy here, but this year it's like even more so. It's, I think all the people going on vacation who weren't able to travel in the past 2 years, again, it feels like people are revenge traveling. So it has been like above average volume of people, just crowds all summer long. And you can really kind of feel it. You can feel it in the way, like, people look, like, just interacting with, like, service workers, like, people who are working in the restaurants, in the hospitality, or even in the grocery stores, like, everyone just has this look of, like, exhaustion of the locals here who work with your, like, public-facing jobs here. Like, there's just this collective, like, look of, I'm in autopilot mode because my brain can't handle it anymore. Craziness. So you can definitely feel it just around, like, the, you see people are very much just kind of overwhelmed by the influx of people. And what's interesting is, you know, it's not all bad. Like, it's definitely good to get business. Like, this area of Italy thrives on tourism. Like, that is the main source of income here for people, and the main industry here, especially on the Amalfi Coast, is from tourism. So it's great for, I think, a financial perspective. It's just like a kind of a shock to the system for people. But also, what I noticed this year, as opposed to like past years that I've been here, is who is traveling. And I wonder, you know, I don't know if this reflects like a bigger trend or if it's more specific just to southern, like, to Italy. But I've noticed that just in general, I see more people, like, more individual travelers. Like, in the past, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, you saw a lot of groups, like, people traveling with tourism agencies who are traveling in like big groups of people with a tour guide, people who had like, you know, who do pre-organized tours. That was kind of the main mode of tourism here for a long time. That's what my dad did for work for a long time, is he worked with these big tours, big groups of people. And generally speaking, the people who were in these groups tended to be, you know, like probably middle-aged or older, a little bit of an older crowd, people who are retired, people who are on vacation. And, you know, of course, people in that age range in from that background are going to interact with the place a little differently than, say, a lot of the more recent crowds, which have been younger people. And I think that probably has something to do with the explosion of Airbnbs. Like, ever since Airbnb and VRBO and all, like, these kind of, like, vacation rental home agencies, these, like, modern vacation rental companies popped up, where it's not like run through an official hotel or business, it's like individuals renting out their space. That's made travel more accessible to younger people, like people who can't afford to stay in the luxury five-star hotels or book out the you know, exclusive excursion-based group tours and stuff like that. It's definitely made it more accessible to more people, and especially younger people. And I personally love to see that. You know, for a while, it could kind of seem to feel like the Amalfi Coast, you know, there's definitely a bit of a curated image as far as how it's presented to tourists. And I think a lot of the businesses here and the tourism industry here really tries to lean towards like the luxury experience, like the image of the Amalfi Coast and Positano and you know, the five-star villas and the boats and the, you know, kind of romanticized glamour luxury experience. And you know, that's fine and all, and it's great for those who access it, but you know, younger people and modern travelers don't always resonate with that. So I think maybe with also the rise of like social media and Instagram and TikTok and blah, 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 like it's helped put places like the Amalfi Coast on the map to a different audience and younger people who, you know, maybe would not have read about the Amalfi Coast through a travel catalog or the more traditional, like older versions of like travel media. And so it's refreshing. I see, like, I'm seeing a lot of groups of, say, probably, like, I don't know, groups of, like, late 20, early 30-somethings to 40-somethings. Don't see a ton of, like, younger people, like, late teens, early 20s, although I've seen a few. Actually, no, I take that back. I've started to see more of them, too, because there's been a couple hostels that have popped up. There's a hostel in Atrani, which is a town that's right next to Amalfi, where I've been staying, just a short walk over, and there's a hostel there. And last fall when I came here, that's like where I went to hang out, because I don't really have like friends left here, like peers of my own age to hang out with much. I do, there's like a couple people that I've known since I went to elementary school here that still live in my hometown, and I see them on occasion here and there, but you know, it's, people are busy, they're working now, everyone's adults. It's, you know, there's the same thing. This is one thing that's not different, like, no matter where you go, is, you know, everyone's grown up and has their own lives now, so it's just, it's not like it was when we were growing up. So I don't really have as much of like a social life outside of hanging out with my family when I'm here. So I started hanging out with the tourists and like meeting young people. Like, because there's more young people now, that means like there's more people like closer to my age that I can go and like talk to. So it's beneficial for me. And yeah, what I've done in the past, I'll go and like get a little aperitivo, like a light cocktail, and bring a book to this little bar that's by where the hostel is down in Atrani, and just like mingle with people, or do that in Amalfi here. There's a couple bars that people can go to hang out in the evenings, and it's a lot of young people, both like locals and travelers, and that's been like where I've been getting my social life from while I've been here. So Yeah, the younger crowd is definitely beneficial to me in that way. But yeah, it's refreshing to see people, like young people, being interested in traveling to places that are not traditionally like young people destinations, if that makes sense. Because there's a lot to offer here. Like, it's not just all luxury villas and yachts and like, I'm gonna get more into this in here a little bit later in the episode anyways, but it is, you know, it's just nice to see the dynamic changing a little bit and things freshening up a bit. However, that also means it's a little bit more chaotic. Like, you're definitely seeing people just, besides the volume of people that are here being higher than normal, it's the way people are interacting with the place. With people individually, like, being able to just kind of move around individually, and instead of, like, there being, like, big groups being led by guides, they're just, like, people walking around everywhere and going to cafes and going shopping, and it just feels more like, I don't know, a little bit more chaotic. Like, there's just people going everywhere, every direction at all times. So I think it just makes it feel a little more chaotic. You know, sometimes that means the way people interact with a place, like, could improve. I think one thing that people from here, one thing I've heard people from here saying that work in the industry is that the way people are, like, interacting with businesses and with the crowds and stuff is kind of deteriorated a little bit. And I'm kind of not surprised to hear this, because I think this isn't unique to the Amalfi Coast. This isn't unique to foreign travel and tourism. I think this is just a being a human in 2022 thing. Like, it seems to, like, from everything to, like, travel to, you know, going out to anywhere, anything that has to do with going to spaces that draw big groups of people, there's been a issue with people just not knowing how to have manners in crowds. I've seen this in music festival world and at going to dance music events in the US. That's been super crowded this year. Every festival I've been to, there've been pretty big crowds, and, you know, the more people you get together in one space, the more likely it is that you'll encounter somebody being a jerk, or, you know, just you stuff a bunch of people together in a limited space, people are gonna get rowdy and cranky, and some people are better about handling that than others. So, you know, that, I think, with all of that said, here's some ideas that I had, and I kind of went over with, like, some with my my dad and his partner, since we're all kind of in the world of tourism here and have been exposed to travel. And so Laura, my dad's partner, she's a travel writer, and kind of listening to what she's been hearing from locals here about interacting with tourists. And my own experiences, here are some ideas that I wanted to go over about how to be a good traveler, or, you know, specifically how to be a good tourist. There's, you know, I'm not saying, like, don't travel this year. Like, I think it's just, it is made, like, any kind of travel is going to be more difficult this year because of what we've already seen with crowding being so much higher than normal. Also, like, ticket prices and flying, y'all, I have never spent so much money. When I booked my trip, my tickets to and from Italy, I booked them separately because, you know, I had a different itinerary for arriving than leaving, but I have never spent such an exorbitant amount of money on a one-way ticket as my ticket cost to go from Naples, Italy, back to Spokane. Like, just, you know, if any of you have traveled this year, even within the U.S., I'm sure you've noticed this, that, like, airline prices are, like, astronomical. International travel is not any better. In fact, it's probably worse here in Europe. Airports have been really chaotic. There's, like, all over the news, you just hear about people's, like, so million, like, thousands of people having missing luggage and flights being canceled just because they don't have enough capacity. So traveling this year has just taken a lot of patience. And I think a lot of that has to do with still dealing with the aftershocks of the pandemic. So number one, just be very mindful of that reality this year if you are traveling. And if you haven't yet, like, do expect there to be some hiccups and there's going to be potentially some delays. It's just a crazy year for travel. So just come with that expectation that there it might not be the smoothest experience. But on a broader sense, as a tourist, here's, you know, when you're traveling, there's some things you can do to prepare that I think will make it more likely that you will, not only you will have a better experience, but it will also improve the quality of interaction that you have with a place you're traveling to, no matter where that is. So, and this, a lot of this is specific to the Amalfi Coast, but it also applies to anywhere when you're traveling. And I would say in the first kind of category of rules, I guess, right, I would rather say suggestions about how to be a good tourist is take some time to learn about your destination. You know, it seems pretty, like, might seem pretty obvious, but, you know, I think it still goes without saying, and it's always still good to bring this point up. And just because it's just a good practice in general. Like, if you're thinking about going somewhere, especially if you're going traveling internationally, to a place where you're going to be interacting with a different culture, maybe a different structure of, like, where people's days and routines are structured differently, it's just good to do your research. And that means, like, taking some time to seek out information that goes a little bit deeper than, like, say, your the surface label, surface level information that's available. So, you know, I think what a lot of people some people may do is, like, they say you follow an Instagram, like, page about travel, and somebody puts up a post about, like, 10 things I did. And say if you're traveling to the Amalfi Coast, you're going to the city of Positano, which is a very popular tourist destination, particularly for the U.S. It's very popular on Instagram. Say you see some cool pictures on Instagram about Positano, and some influencer went there for a day, and they write a post about the 5 top things they did in Positano that you have to do. Okay, great. That's, you know, nothing against that. It's a good way to get insights as a traveler about what there is to see in a place and what's interesting and, you know, what can be a cool destination experience. You can always get cool ideas from, like, posts like that. However, you know, when you're, like, reading information from somebody who spends, like, a day in Positano, that's gonna give you it's also pretty limited. Like, you know, you can get much more information about, like, how to interact with a place on a deeper level by doing a little more research. And I would say, like, a good way of doing that is look for websites, and, like, maybe if you're more into reading books about travel, look for sources of information that are based locally. So, you know, read, you can, like, try to seek out, like, a website, like the Positano local websites that are, like, sites that people have that are local here, like local writers, kind of like, say, Laura, my dad's partner, or, like, people who are in her network, who are people who live here, and their websites. My mom, her website, by the way, is called Ciao Amalfi. But it's, like, people who live in the place whose livelihood is based in writing about the actual experience of living here, and they get a much deeper perspective on what to do and what to see and how life actually works here. Take some time to go a little bit out of your way to seek out those types of resources, because it'll, you know, you'll probably get more insight on not only like what there is to do, but like how to make your experience easier and more fluid. The thing that's tricky about the Amalfi Coast is that it's, you know, it's a gorgeous destination, and you know, a lot of people are drawn to this place because of its beauty, and it is absolutely like it's an absolutely jaw-dropping place. But because like the very same thing that makes this place so beautiful, like the beautiful, the dramatic landscape and the cliffs that go into the sea and the little towns that are built all up into the mountains and these little nooks and crannies, like it's very picturesque and scenic, but it also makes it kind of a difficult place to live. Transportation is always a challenge. You know, a very limited capacity for traffic with, you know, skinny narrow roads and just not much, there's just like isn't much space. So that's just an expectation you should manage if you're traveling to the Amalfi Coast. But it's like that's something you may not necessarily know if you know nothing about the Amalfi Coast and you want to travel here. That's probably something you're not gonna hear about from reading some influencer's post about the day she spent in Positano, for example. So just, you know, take your time to do some homework. Go a little deeper than the surface level and seek local sources of information if available. And this can apply to, again, anywhere in the world that you're traveling. Also, another a good idea, you know, and this is maybe not as in fashion now with traveling as it was in the past, but if you, you know, when if you really want to go deeper about learning about into learning about a place when you travel, like say you really are interested in doing more like interacting with the community on a deeper level than like say going to the beach and taking some pictures, having lunch and leaving, which I get it, sometimes that's all you have time to do, but I think if you have the opportunity to interact with a place on a deeper level when you're traveling, you know, absolutely take that opportunity. Because in the end, that's, I think, what, like, one of the appeals of traveling is all about is seeing life from a different perspective. So, when you're traveling to a new place, one way to do that that takes a lot of the pressure off of your trying, having to, like, do your own homework and researching things is hiring a guide. You know, that's, again, that's what my dad does for a living. He's been a guide here for decades, and he has a long, like, network of people that he's worked with. And I remember like going on tours with him as a kid, when I'd come here to visit in the summer and I didn't, you know, was too young to like stay at home by myself, but, or maybe was just too bored too. And I would just come along on tours with my dad when he was working. And it was like fascinating. I got to learn so much about the Amalfi Coast, and like there's the city of Pompeii on the other side of the mountains here, because Amalfi is very close to the city of Naples, which is where under the volcano Vesuvius, which is the volcano that destroyed the ancient city of Pompeii during the Roman times, and you can still see the ruins today. If you are traveling to this region, definitely do that. It's a really cool experience. And you know, I got to go see something that maybe I wouldn't have been able to do if I were just travel, like say if I were a traveler coming here by myself. I don't think I would have like learned as much about the place as I would have going along on a tour like I did with my dad. Just being with somebody who's expert, like an expert in the field and knows the place, knows a place on a personal level, can offer you so much more insight than you may get from like reading a book. Like just when you hire a guide, think of it as like basically booking a day to hang out with a local who gets to tell you all about like the place where they live. And what better insight is there to a place than that? You know? And you can try to make, you know, do it organically by meeting locals and hoping somebody, you know, you have somebody to hang out with as you go and explore. But if you have a limited time, hiring a guide is probably the best way to go to do that. And also, when you hire a guide, usually sometimes they'll be able to help, like there's like travel included in that. So it can help with the transportation piece. It's honestly, if you're going for like a, if you want a smooth experience where you're going to be able to make the most out of the time you have, as far as like learning about a place, getting around, and really just getting the most out of your day, I would say like hiring a guide is probably the best way to go, at least here on the Amalfi Coast. So, and you know, you don't have to join one of those big groups, you know, if that's kind of not your vibe, and you know, joining a prepackaged tour, like travel, prepackaged like travel plan with set tours and a, like everything planned out to the T, being in a big group isn't like your style of travel, which it's not for me either. You can still hire a private guide, like as an individual, or if you're in a group, you can still hire individual guides that will work with just you and your group. So you, it's not only one or the other. You don't have to be part of like a big herd of people, or be completely on your own. It's actually a really nice little middle way. And I think if I were a traveler coming to the Amalfi Coast, not knowing anything about the place, that's probably what I would do. And I, you know, I do highly recommend that. And with that said, I think the final point about just getting to know your destination is come with the mindset of wanting to learn. You know, I think you're more likely to want to enjoy an experience when you're traveling and get more out of it if you come with at least a little bit of curiosity to learn more about the place, say, then, you know, don't, I'll just say, like, basically, don't just come, don't just go somewhere so you can take cool pictures and then, like, get out. Some people travel that way, like, go to destinations that look really pretty just so they can take pictures and have a nice lunch and whatever. There's nothing wrong with doing that occasionally, but I think especially if you're going out of your way to a different place, a foreign country with a new culture, different culture, and you know, it's an opportunity to really not just get out of your mundane maybe routine, but an opportunity to see life from a different perspective, like fully lean into that. And that means embracing the differences that may feel weird or uncomfortable. Like, you know, one thing I see sometimes tourists are shocked by when they come here is that businesses close in the middle of the day. Not so much in the Amalfi Coast now because it's changed a lot to cater to tourists. But if you travel many other places in Italy, even like some neighborhoods of the region here that aren't as like in the middle of the tourist, like central areas, the areas where like the tourists really flock to, businesses close in the middle of the day. And it's a tradition that people have been doing since forever. Like, and it started out as a response to the climate. Like, it's just, it's hot. It's too hot during the middle of the day to, work in the field, or even, you know, air conditioning is still something that's not as widespread here in buildings and in infrastructure as it is in a lot of places in the US, and it literally just gets too hot. So I probably started as that, and then but it's, you know, it's the midday siesta. It's something that a lot of Mediterranean countries do. If you're traveling, just, you know, keep that in mind, and maybe that means you can't go get lunch at 3 p.m., but, you know, plan around that, and I always take a moment to appreciate how kind of nice that is. Like, I wish we did this in the U.S. I wish we got a break in the middle of the day to go home, eat, take a nap, and then come back to work recharged. Like, life would be just so much easier, I think, if that were, like, something we did in the U.S., but just, you know, be curious. And this is just like a perspective about life. When you encounter something that's different or may seem weird to you, be curious about it, and be curious about the culture you're interacting with. And I think that's the doorway to appreciating it more and appreciating just the world more. I think you're just generally have a better time as a traveler if you come with a mindset of wanting to learn something new. because there's always endless opportunity to do that, so long as that's where you focus your attention. And I think it'll be a more memorable experience than, say, if you just come here to, you know, pose at the top of the mountain in Positano and take some pictures for Instagram and bounce out. So, yeah. And I think that really ties in with the idea of meaningful tourism versus what has been called, like, drive-by tourism. That also, you know, being mindful of how you interact with places is important too. And this ties into, like, the next, I guess, the next kind of part two, or let's call it part two of how to be a good tourist, which has to do with, like, maintaining loose plans and being mindful of the setting. So, I'll kind of back up a little bit and start at the top of what I wanted to talk about with this. You know, you have to have some flexibility. That's kind of, I think that's just kind of the main idea that I'm getting at with the major point here, is you want to have flexibility and just be responsive to the situation at hand when you're traveling. And this applies to a few different things. So, first and foremost, logistically, you know, when you're thinking of traveling somewhere, especially somewhere like the Amalfi Coast, you want to be mindful of, like, if you have the option to, like, when the timing. I've said it before, like, you know, I say to avoid August just because it is the craziest and hottest month of the year. So unless it's, like, your only option, try, you know, I always suggest to people to come during the shoulder seasons. So May, June, September, October are really good times. I think those are my favorite times to come into Italy. I actually typically prefer to come here, like, September, October, just because it's nicer. It's, you still get fairly nice with the weather. When you get further into October, the weather does get a little more iffy, but you still have a good chance of getting some nice sunny days where you can enjoy the beach, and it's not too cold yet for that, but it's also less, like, blisteringly hot, so it's a lot more tolerable, and the crowds tend to be a little better too, like, just less crowded. But, you know, there's a give and a take, and just being really mindful of the idea that it might take longer to get around than, say, it would in the U.S., like, because transportation is a challenge, it is kind of challenging here. You just want to be able to be flexible with, you know, how you prioritize your activities, and doing your homework about where you're traveling will help you make realistic priorities about what you can do with the time that you have in a place. So, yeah. If, you know, if you're going to be traveling to Italy in the early spring or late fall, you might not have as many crowds, but you won't have as much crowding, but, you know, the weather might be iffy. So you might want to plan some activities that you can enjoy indoors as a backup to the outdoor stuff. If you really want to go hiking, don't come during the hottest months of the year. You know, there's some beautiful hiking destinations on the Amalfi Coast, the Path of the Gods and the Valle delle Ferriere, the Valley of the Ferns, and there's the Vesuvius. Like, if you're a hiking outdoorsy person, there's a lot of cool stuff to do here, but I would definitely aim for the shoulder seasons for that, because it'll just be a lot more tolerable. The winter tends to get pretty rainy here. Like, you can chance it in the winter. It's just, winters tend to be wet, so maybe not the most fun for hiking. Conversely, the summer is just really hot. So, yeah. That ties into just, you know, the idea that I think it's always a good idea to make a loose, when I travel, I like to make loose plans about, like, there'll be like two or three main types of activities that I know that I'll want to do, and I'll go to a place with a mindset of finding those things, but, like, not being so strict that I'll make, like, an itinerary, like, this day we have to go to this destination, at this time we have to go to this restaurant, and, like, some people travel like that. I don't like to travel like that. That makes me stressed out. So I think the golden balance is basically, when you're thinking of traveling somewhere, And again, this can be for the Amalfi Coast or not. It can be anywhere else. Is to start by prioritizing what types of activities you care about doing. So, even before you pick your destination, think about what do you want to get out of the experience when you travel? What types of things are you looking to do? Are you just trying to go somewhere because it's like, are you just trying to go somewhere that's scenic and cool and like you've seen it online and it just seems like a fun place to visit? Okay. If that's your main priority, then, you know, that's great. Keep in mind what else there is to do there and learn about, you know, what else you can do at that place. You know, if you really don't have that much of an itinerary, you just want to get to a specific place and see what it's all about, then you're I would say like your doors are open. You kind of do whatever. You don't have any other expectations to manage. But if you know that when you're traveling, you're going to want to do certain activities, say maybe you really like going to museums or you really want to get an art experience. You really want a culinary experience, or maybe you care more about doing outdoor stuff. You want to go hiking, you want to do water sports. That's, you know, what you want to do. Or you really want to do nightlife things and nightclubs or check out festivals and things like that. Those should be like if finding a specific type of activity is the priority for you, then you should, you know, think about that before you even pick your destination. Because, you know, depending on, you know, where you go, some of those activities may be available while others are not. And, that will help you really set in mind, like, what kind of expectations to have when traveling somewhere and hopefully prevent you feeling disappointed. For example, you know, here on the Amalfi Coast, it's, you know, if you're a foreigner who is interested in learning about Italian culture, it's a great place. You know, there's a lot of historical stuff to explore here, going back to like medieval history and even earlier, like Roman times, anything within this region. There's a lot of cool historical stuff to visit. If you're somebody who's really into modern art, maybe not so much, but like old historical sites and things like that, great spot. And you know, if you like the beach and you like food, good seafood and the culinary experience, it's great for that here. But I do come across people who come here with a certain expectation, like certain expectations that don't meet their like reality, and they end up being kind of let down. And for example, one thing that I see or hear a lot from especially younger travelers, like the ones that I've been kind of meeting at the local cafes and stuff, is that a lot of people, I think people get the idea that because it's the Amalfi Coast gets so glammed up in media and you see about like all these big personalities coming here on vacation and all this, you know, this sort of clout that it gets sometimes, is they probably expect it to have like a bustling nightlife. And it, you know, really the Amalfi Coast doesn't really have much for as far as nightlife. I think in prior decades, from what I heard, like from when my dad was young, in like, in, let's say the period between the 60s, 70s, 80s, it used to have more of a nightlife here. Like there were discos and stuff, but I think, I don't know why. It is a little sad. It's kind of disappointing to me even sometimes, because I think there's a lot of potential for that, for there to be more nightlife here, but it kind of withered away in the last 30 years. And if you really want to go dancing and clubbing, there's not much here. There really isn't. There's a couple clubs in Positano, but you know, if that's a high priority for you and that's something you really like to do when you travel, maybe, you know, the Amalfi, just expect that you're not going to really find that here on the Amalfi Coast. You might find some cool bars to hang out at, but I've seen tourists like show up, they go to the beach during the day, they have lunch, they hang out at night, they walk around and they're like, all right, where are we going to clubbing? And it's like, bruh, no. Nowhere. You're not going clubbing. So just, you know, I think a way of avoiding possible like clash of interest, maybe say if you're traveling with, especially I think if you're traveling with a group, it's a really good idea to do this, like just get together, like you know, either sit down or over chat or whatever, and make a list of like what types of activities do you prioritize doing, and make sure that, you know, the destination aligns with that. And at least, and if it doesn't, but you still want to go to the destination, just accept that kind of that reality, and that will really help, I think, improve the mindset that you go into a new place with. And then in a similar vein, and I know this is especially true of the Amalfi Coast, is, you know, again, be mindful of media representations of popular destinations and how those, what you see on Instagram and what you see on TV or, you know, reading travel blogs and stuff may reflect, most likely reflect a reality, like a part of the experience that is, does not encapsulate the whole reality. Yeah. So just be mindful of appearances versus reality. So, I started to get into this a little bit with, mentioning how Instagram and other social media sites like tend to have a lot of content about the Amalfi Coast that looks very like glammed up. Like, so there's a lot of like just this glamour perspective. Like, it's a destination where, celebrities come to vacation on their yachts, and they go to the beautiful villas on top of the mountains, and they, you know, you see the, you know, restaurants down by the water with people drinking, sipping wine. They're getting into their, convertible cars and zooming up to their villas, and you know, you get the whole the scenic mountainscape when you're just having a chill cruise along the mountains like that. That, let me tell you, I don't know where people take those images. They come here in the winter, they pick a sunny day if they're lucky to film all that, and then they put that together. That's like Hollywood right there. That is not it's just not a reality for a lot of people. Yes, the rich people who could come here on their yachts and have hire private, like, drivers and stuff to zoom up to their summer villas, sure. Maybe that's, you know, true for a very small portion of the population that has an access to that kind of experience, but for most of us here, most people, that's not just realistic. Like, you're probably going to be in a busy street side, like, you're going to be using public transportation, which, as we've talked about, as I've talked about on the show, you will know, it is not the most enjoyable sometimes. Like, it's kind of chaotic. It's nice that there is public transit available here, but, you know, Italy... another thing about Amalfi Coast is, like, there's no Uber here. Don't expect to use Uber. Like, say, like, oh, I won't take the bus, I'll just use Uber. That's not an option here. If you're using public transit, you're using the public buses, and, you know, just be ready to have a lot of patience with that, because traffic gets backed up. Sometimes the buses are late, the schedules change, it's crowded. Like, this is really, a lot of this has to do with transportation. Manage your expectations when it comes to transportation here on the Amalfi Coast. And I think that's true with anywhere. Take some time. In fact, as far as like pre-planning goes, take some time to learn about transportation and where you're going. Budget for it. Research it. Come ready with your expectations, because I think that will save you a lot of potential like stress. Rather than arriving at a place and realizing like, oh crap, like this is, how do I get around? Or taxis are super expensive and not commonly available like they are here on the Amalfi Coast, because all the rich people are booked up, have booked up private drivers and stuff. Like, just take some time to really look up transportation. Are you going to be traveling by train? Do you need to take ferries? My suggestion, if you are traveling to the Amalfi Coast, is, as far as public transit, traveling by water is probably the easiest way. And this is mostly, you know, this may not be an option if you come in the winter. Sometimes the ferry lines stop running because of weather. But usually the ferries run pretty frequently between, like, mid-spring to mid-fall. And as far as just getting around to the different coastal cities, it's the easiest way to get around. It's the least, like, I think it's the least stressful, or the least nauseating. Like, I don't get seasick, but I do get car sick, and those bus rides can be rough. Just driving on the Amalfi Coast in general can be rough if you're motion sick. So going by boat takes a lot of that stress away. It's also faster. You're not going to get stuck in traffic in the ocean. So yeah, I always prefer to travel by water, and it's pretty affordable too. It's really pretty cheap, depending on your destination, but just getting around locally on the Amalfi Coast, a ferry is the way to go. Unless you're going up and down the mountain, then you might have to take, like, buses to the mountain towns. But, yeah, getting around by water, definitely my best way, my favorite way of getting around here. It also has the best views, I think. So, but, you know, these are things you can learn about if you read about a place first before you travel there. And, yeah, just be aware that the images you see on travel sites and stuff, they're all very glammed up. Like with anything on social media, it shows all the best, most kind of postcardy highlights of the experience. Any kind of, travel experience you engage in, whether it's traveling to a new country, you're going to, you know, on a hiking excursion, or you're going to a music festival, etc. What you see on in the media and social media, and, like, you know, I think it's social media especially, shows a lot of the most, like, the best postcardy tidbits. But just expect that, you know, that's not always the reality. And so I think the moral of the story is do your own homework, and come with an open mind, come curious to learn, and you'll have a better experience. I think you'll engage with the space in a deeper level. You'll get to know the culture. Like, try to talk to locals. That's always something, you know, that I try to do when I'm here. I mean, I am technically, like, I have experience being local here, but I don't really live here year-round. I really try to, like, kind of bridge the gap between the locals and the tourists, because they're two populations who exist in the same space but rarely interact, besides on, like, a business level, surface level. So try to be curious about meeting different people. Talk to the locals. Talk to other travelers. And just try to take in the whole experience as, you know, as learning experience and something expansive, which, you know, even when you encounter difficult situations, think of it as, like, how curious an experience it is, and, like, how crazy life is that things can be so alike but so different in some different places. And that's what travel's all about, I think, is experiencing life from a different perspective and learning from it. So I think if you come with the intention of doing that, that's probably, like, the best thing you can do mindset-wise as a traveler. And, yeah, definitely applies to the Amalfi Coast, but that's true of anywhere. So, yeah, that's about all the time I have today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you have any more questions for me about Italy, traveling the Amalfi Coast, traveling in Europe in general, do reach out to me at sodidyouhear@kyrs.org. That's my email. I love hearing from listeners, so honestly, like, please do reach out to me. I really appreciate that interaction from you guys, and I'm always here to answer any questions. Starting next week, I'll be back in the U.S. I'll be working up on setting up some interviews to tap more into, like, the traditional vibe of the show. So you might, you know, it'll be back to its more normal structure, but I will keep you guys posted with upcoming episodes and whatnot. And again, I'm working on uploading the recordings to the show page. That should be, you know, be working on updating that this coming week, the last week, which is going to be August 15th and forward. So tune in from here on out, and reach out to me with questions, comments. And other than that, thank you all for joining me, and I will catch you next time. Take care.